Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slap Box Podcast. This is episode 709. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, the Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat. Right out of the gate, my tongue is fucking up. The three-legged kitty cat, my amigo, my compadre, is downstairs chilling out. Probably doing some sunbathing. It's 3:40 in the afternoon. He's getting some rays, some vitamin D, if you will. Yes. Well, not today, but as of March 17th, last Tuesday, as of recording the show today, it is officially 14 years since we started recording this show. From, of course, the first recording was in Edwardsville, Illinois, back in the day, 2012. You know, remember when the world ended? It was the March before the world ended on St. Pat's. And I would have played some clips. But as, from the years past, but it occurred to me as I started to record that I do not have Jazzler Show on this computer. What I used to use all the time for playing those clips. Because, you know, it wasn't that long ago I got a new PC. And I did not... I don't have any of that shit installed. but I had Jazzler Show. And... because of how fucking Windows is now, I don't have the old sound clips listed on the or saved on this computer. I turned OneDrive off. Son of a bitch. They have a newer Jazzler Show. I wonder if it works any better. I did not know that they had a newer one. I use the old one. I've got a download of the old one, I think, on an external hard drive. Had I realized it wasn't on this computer, I would have done it before recording it, and, son of a bitch. What a pisser. damn it, that sucks. Jazzler Show's a cart replacement software that's pretty awesome. I don't know about the newer one. The old one's, pretty great. I don't think you really need a newer one. I don't know if you can get the newer one for free. It's probably some kind of, oh yeah, there's an order. How much? Ooh. Fuck me. €400. I think that's euros or not. Maybe that's pounds. That might be pounds, which is even worse than the, euro. Oh shit. Yeah, there is, this is mainly for if you're, I guess, working on an actual radio station. I'm not working a radio station anymore. I've got the old school version of Jazzler. But back when I used to work in radio, that was a long time ago. That was before this show had started. I worked in radio for a year, mainly operating the boards, but I would get on and do a little on air stuff, very little, but, yeah, that was way back in the day. As far as starting the show though, I mean, it was like right after I stopped working the radio station I'd worked at, shit. Well, let me just see what the call. I'm trying to remember what the call letters were. That's sad. I should remember the call letters. 94.1 was the station that I was on that did what I was mainly on. The main one I was on. Was 94.1 The call letters, fuck. That was, I did the River City Rascals games, board out for that. Mainly, you know, I don't remember what the fucking call letters were. That's sad. That's sad. I should remember that. But the main station, I guess, there was the 100.7, which is now the Viper. It was not that at the time I worked there. It was just Westplex 100.7 when I worked there. Playing whatever we feel like was the tagline for that one. And I don't remember what the call letters were for that either. Son of a bitch. It was out in Moscow Mills at the time, the radio station, but I believe they where they broadcast is out actually in Wentzville now for the Viper. I could be wrong on that, but I believe they actually broadcast. It was like out of a old storage shed, like a used store at places. And yeah, from there, like I left there, and then it wasn't too long after that that we started podcasting, and of course did that in Edwardsville originally. But son of a bitch, I'm kind of pissed off myself for not having that shit on my computer. Damn it. Would have been helpful. Son of a bitch. That is disappointing. And then some. But yeah, anyway, it's been a long time. There's been many iterations, if you will, of this podcast. It's been 14 years is a long fucking time. You know, that's almost a decade and a half. That's you know, another year and a half in this podcast and get its permit to drive. Or at least I think that's, it was like 15 and a half when I was got my permit. I don't know. It might be different now. I'm not sure what the driving, you know, all those laws and shit are on driving these days here. I don't know. Regardless, yeah, it's, I mean, crazy. I've done a lot, and not just on the podcast, but in life in general. That's been, I was fucking 14 years ago, I was 31. I just turned 31 when we recorded the first episode. I'm 45 now. I'm halfway to 90. The second half, so it's going to be the, I would imagine, the worst part. The first half's the fun part. If I make it to 90, that's a big if. I would imagine it's like a like running a marathon, though. You know, the higher the mileage, you know, those first, that first half of the marathon, 13.1, you're feeling pretty good if you've trained well, if you've trained going in for a marathon and it's gone well. That first half should be fairly easy if you pace yourself right. But then you really start feeling that second half. And well, you get to like my, you know, because it's like 26.2 is a marathon. So 13.1, you get the first half out of the way. Then you hit mile 20. By mile 20, that's when you start regretting all your life decisions. Like, son of a bitch. Why did I do this? And not so much the race, but more of like thinking about all the shit you fucked up in life and like, God damn it. I should be so much further. yeah. Imagine, yeah, if I make it to 90, man, let's say mile 20 would probably be 80. That'd be a rough one. If I make it to 80, I'm going to be in rough shape. I'm going to be hurting. I don't know if I'll still be doing this podcast. I guess if I'm still alive. I mean, I've done it this long. I might as well, I guess. I don't know. My memory and everything's already shit. If I make it that far, it's going to be real bad. There's going to be long pauses, I would imagine. I can't imagine there'd be enough caffeine that would jolt me enough to get my brain moving. I'm just thinking about that. Just sounds rough. I should just think about the past And yeah, it's been a long, strange trip. The early days, you know, we'd go out to Edwardsville and do it at Shelley's old place above the, Fiona's Diner, which, man, had great euros. And I forgot what it turned into. It might have turned into a few different places since then. And of course, it was 14 years ago that we were above that. Very small apartment. And getting all the gear up there, you know, I had to load that all into a car. I had four or five different plastic containers with handles that I would load all of the cords and mics into. And then I had the board and, of course, another box that had the headphone amp. And there was some compression and stuff on there that I could hook up to the soundboard. In the original soundboard, because Jackman actually gave me my first soundboard, my first Behringer, which bit the dust. That thing started like catching on fire, not during a podcast, but started smoking up. I think I did eventually get rid of it. But I have another Behringer that I bought just a couple of years into the podcast. I've had a long time. And then I'm on my fourth soundboard, actually. The second one I bought, which is a very large one, still works. It's a very nice soundboard. It was like, I don't know, $300-$400 range. What I'm currently using, it actually was like $600, $500 or $600. It was more expensive, but it's nice and compact. The Rodecaster Pro 2. I think is the name. Yeah, Rodecaster Pro 2. I had to look at it. but I've had all my other boards were Behringers. I had the original one that Jackman gave me was a Behringer, and then the other one that still works, and that's good. The second board, that one's a tank. It's got, I don't remember how many channels in it. It's a good one, probably at least 32. There's a lot going on that board too. There's a lot you can do with it. And it's an old school board, but it's kind of a pain because it's a very large board. And doesn't fit in this room very well. I used to record with it in here, but of course, yeah, it was cumbersome, took up a lot of space. and so I wanted something a little bit more compact. And this Rodecaster Pro 2, I could ditch this table I got next to me, which I had the other board on. I guess I didn't really save myself a whole lot of room, but this Rodecaster Pro 2 would fit on my desk if I wanted to. Which I probably should just do that. It would probably be more convenient. Yeah, the board, and then I had that other Behringer that was a small desktop one that I used when I was at the Slapbox bunker. That one started having overheating issues as well. And the big problem with that one is I think it probably wouldn't have like burnt up, but like there was no way to shut the power off unless you unplug the damn thing, which was really annoying. I wish it just would have had a fucking power switch. I liked that board. It was convenient to just have that small board when I was recording like this with just myself. And they just don't sell small compact boards very cheap like that anymore. And like this one again, really, even just this one is like overkill that I'm currently using. but it's got a lot of features that are pretty nice in it. And it's got a lot of processing and shit that I set it and forget about it. I set it the first time I used it. And yeah, I have no idea. The other board, you know, all the controls are knobs. They're analog controls. This one's all like touch screen and digital. I mean, you got your faders that are manual. But yeah, this is inside baseball shit. Who gives a shit about a board? I don't know why I'm going on about the board. Yeah, there was like the early days. I mean, the very first episode that we recorded March 17th of 2012. We had Mark Ping, bitch, which I don't have I don't have my sound effects set up. I do have some sound effects on this board. I don't have that one. I used to play every time we'd say Mark Ping, we'd play Freddy Krueger saying, bitch. And Mark Ping was on the first episode. I haven't seen him in years. So hopefully he's doing well. I never go to Edwardsville anymore. He lives around that area. Good dude. But he had some really funny stories. Of course, Shelley knew him from working with him. I believe he worked with him at the paper. I think that's how he had met him. Anyway. Yeah, he had stories of, you know, playing in bands and stuff and touring on the road. There was the crazy story. He picked up some girl at the mall. This was back in the day. He wasn't like a 40-year-old man going to a mall and picking up a girl. This was, I'm guessing he was like in his 20s at the time. Back when there was, you know, malls were popular and there was a lot more of them around. he had gone to a mall and picked some girl up. And she willingly let him, like, tie her up. And I don't know if he was just that partying so hard. I don't know how well he tied her up. I'd have to go back and listen to the story. But he left her in the room and forgot about her because his manager had called up the room. He was in a hotel or something like that. And had called and was like, hey. Or came and knocked on the door and like said, like, hey, let's go to this party. And he just left her in the room tied up. That was like the big crazy moment I remember in the first episode. And we were watching, of course, Pool Boy 2, Drowning Out the Fury, which I don't think there's actually Pool Boy 1. That with Kevin Sorbo before he went like right-wing lunatic. well, I mean, he probably was right-wing at the time, but I would imagine he wasn't. This is before he was doing nothing but right-wing films. Anyway, that shit was funny. It was pretty fun, like having that first episode. It was, you know, everything was like so new, and that was, he told us about because we had talked about wanting to go to a drag show, I think, on that episode, and he had a friend, Danny, who's a big gay bear, Danny. And we had never met Danny. He made it sound like Danny was like into drag and stuff. Danny, I don't believe, ever did drag. It's been a minute. I haven't talked to Danny in a while. But Danny, great dude. And we were hoping to like hang out with the drag queen. Like that was, and then it was like episode 3 or so, 4. I don't remember when we met Danny. We ended up meeting Danny, you know, not too long after that, and we ended up talking to Danny for so long, and we ended up doing like 2-parter, and that was great because we had all kinds of questions, and even when we found out like he wasn't a drag queen, like we were asking him all kinds about questions about just gay sex and like whether it'd been torn, all kinds of you know, stuff that like you hadn't really thought of before, and just like, hey, you know, like what's this like. Getting the full experience. Hanging out with Danny was fun. And unfortunately, like, we had gone to, with Danny, we, like, went to JJ's, the gay bar that was in St. Louis that is no longer there. That is over by, like, the Foundry area, if you're familiar with that, like the Alamo Draft House movie theater and whatnot. It's JJ's was right across the street from IKEA. In the St. Louis area, if you're familiar with that. And it had, of course, a toilet, which I'd had to really go back to the time we recorded that episode. We did several with Danny. And it wasn't after the first time that it was a few times of hanging out with him that we did go to JJ's. Oh, I think it was the next year because I think it was my birthday. Actually, yeah, it was like the first year anniversary of the show. I remember it being on my birthday. I forgot about that. And we went to JJ's. Again, we wanted to go to a drag show. That's what we wanted. JJ's didn't do drag shows. Hamburger Mary's was there at the time. And it was too late, I guess, to go to see a drag show that night. And so we ended up, he took us to JJ's. And so we didn't get that. But like, no drag show. But we did see... toilet that had blew my mind. A toilet. I never would have thought like going to a bathroom in a gay bar would like blow my mind like this, but the toilet itself tripped me out. I was like, I couldn't believe that you could get a toilet made like this. And I had to wonder. I didn't go ask like management or whatever. I didn't know that. Well, maybe the owner was there. I wouldn't know who to talk to about this, but not that I was going to get a toilet made, but not just the seat, but like the toilet bowl itself was custom made to look like a guy's face, like the outline of a guy's face, like you're shitting into a guy's face, basically, or pissing, I guess. And I had to find the picture. I had the picture on my phone, but I have to go like way back. You know, I mean, this is like 13 years ago. So, I'd have to really go through some pictures to see stuff. I have a lot of pictures that, saved in my phone. yeah, I was like dumbfounded that, you could just get a custom toilet made, not just like size, but like shape. Like do they have molds? I don't exactly know how they make a toilet bowl. So I just like imagine. Like how much does that cost? Is that I'm sure I could Google it, but what's the fun in that? I like to speculate. As yeah, that's just that did totally blow my mind. As I'm a little I don't even know what, you know, just describe that as. Like, that's just funny. That's what that is. And yeah, so we, you know, I mean, went to a gay bar for the first time, and you know, I had not done the podcast. I don't know that I would have gone and done that. I mean, had I hung out with gay people and stuff, like I probably would have been like, sure, whatever, let's go to a gay bar. Before the podcast, I never really had many like gay friends. Not that I have a whole lot of them now, but I've had a few friends. it was great going to the bar, though. Like the best part, I only went there twice. Or was there three times? I think it was just twice, a couple of years apart. And it was exciting to go there as a straight guy, just because I got to feel what it was like to be like a really hot girl going to like a normal bar, like a straight bar. And all kinds of dudes like wanting me to buy me drinks and shit, which I declined because dudes can be shady. I'm more afraid of the straight ones, but dudes are shady. I didn't want to get a spiked drink. I've been around some hot ladies at bars, and they, for whatever reason, felt too comfortable around me to have me watch their drinks, which I thought, like, isn't it usually the ones you're least suspecting that are going to drug you? Like, why do you trust me? You just met me tonight. Like, am I already like, what the hell? I almost, like, I should feel honored that they trust me, I guess, that I'm not a threat. Maybe that's them saying that I could, you know, get there without the aid of drugs. Or they just don't see me as, like, a sexual person at all. I don't know. I don't know how to take that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. but I don't really go to bars anymore. Alcohol is just not, my body doesn't digest it very well anymore. It's kind of a problem. It fucks my shit up. I mean, yeah, we did a lot of stuff, especially in the early days. Nowadays, you know, the last several years, at least the last 6 years, it's been just me hanging out by myself at home for the most part, the last 6 years. Which, that's a big percentage of the show now. That's crazy, you know? That's almost half the time I've been doing the show. That's crazy for me to think. That almost half, a year, just a year less than half the show, I've been doing it by myself now. That's fucked up. I've forgotten what it's like. Every once in a while, I'll get like Muffin Man or somebody to come out and do the show, but it's pretty rare. Since in the last 6 years, it's happened maybe like two or three times. Has it been more than just myself? That's crazy to think. Yeah, the early days, we did a lot of shit. Had Trebeo on a lot. Of course, once the Edwardsville era was like winding down and like ending, as it initially would record out there, I would drive out there every other week. And initially, I think I only posted a podcast every week. Then it got to the point where I would record one at the Slapbox Bunker in Jackman's house. And then I would do one at the bunker and then do one in Edwardsville and just like keep mixing it up. Sometimes Shelly would come out to Washington, but usually I would end up, you know, driving out to Edwardsville, and it was a thing doing the podcast or loading it all up, all the gear and all of that stuff. It was a task, if you will. And yeah, it was took like, I guess loading the vehicle wasn't that bad because I already had it in boxes and everything and just throwing it in the car. But it was a good, you know, like 15 minutes or whatever loading the car up. And then setting it up, though, took like better part of an hour. And of course, tearing it down took the same amount of time. So, I mean, you're talking about like, that was my Saturdays. That was like spent the whole day. Now, when I just record one, I'm just like, I got an hour. I can record it now. But once we moved past the Edwardsville, like once Shelly had moved out of that apartment, that was like pretty much the end of recording in Edwardsville. I think I recorded one, I think just one outside that apartment in Edwardsville, but it was like a party, and Shelly might have still had that apartment. Once he moved out of that apartment, that was like the end of that era. And we started recording over at Muffin Man's house in Union, the Muffin Hut. And that was its home for quite a few years. And so I would drive to Union every weekend, which was a much shorter drive. But Muffin Man, of course, had a table, and I just left all my gear over there. He had a table set up in his upstairs, and I would just leave it set up in there, and we'd go hang out and shoot the shit over there. And although a lot of times Muffin Man would just be bored of talking in a podcast, so it would just be me like talking and him just like staring at me. Shit. Like, he didn't necessarily really want to do it most of the time. It was just, we had some fun times, though, over there. There was, you know, crazy times. And, and yeah, we did that for, I don't know how many years. And now I've been solo doing it. And, of course, when Feener came into the picture, Feener was on it, quite a few times. I mean, Shelly was living in Edwardsville when we met Feener. I think it was at the party. That party, which he might have moved out of that apartment he lived in Edwardsville already by that point. It was when I met Feener. It was like this party in Edwardsville that I couldn't tell you what episode it was. But he was on there. I wish I had some clips to pull up of Feener. But, you know, he was like our number one fan. Listened to the show all the time. And Jeff Wilkinson. known as Feener, and he would come on a lot, and he drove out to, well, he didn't drive. I don't even think he had a driver's license. But Shelly would drive out here with Feener, and we would record in Washington there was a couple of times he drove out to the bunker, and then of course to Muffin Man's, he came out there a few times. And it was right, the last time Feener was on was 2020. He called, I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years. It'd been like 2 years or so. And he messaged me about being on the show. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, right on. I just do it by myself. Yeah, I'm fucking put you on. I'll do a call, a phone in. I used to do a lot of those. And so that way, neither one of us, you know, nobody would have to drive. We just do that shit over the phone. And what sucks is, like, those days, by 2020, I had some decent, I had the good board. And phone calls were fairly decent. And actually, that one, I was using a smaller board. But still, the quality of the phone call wasn't that bad. I can do a way better quality phone call now, sadly, and I don't ever do call-ins. Now this board does that so much nicer, so much easier to do. But anyway, we did that with Feener, like that he had called in, and he had been doing good. He said he hadn't like been drinking a whole lot, which, you know, he was a big drinker and had crazy stories. Like, if you go back and going down that road, let's see here. Go into the website here. You sons of bitches. Log me in. Go to the site. I'm going to look up Feener. Maybe going down that road. Maybe just going down. What is that going to find? We do always did call it. Oh, that is no brown while going down. That is not the sound of a. Damn it. Let's check out Feener. There's got to be. I can tell you the last. Feener came on the podcast two times in 2020, 408 and then 410, the episode numbers. He just contacted me out of the blue, and the episode name of 408 was Feener's Last Podcast ? Because he said that was going to be the last one when I recorded it with him. And that was on June 14th. Then he calls again on June 28th. And, we're already talking about a Dr. Disrespect ban then. that's the initial ban when that happened. Then they wouldn't say why. Yeah, because he likes underage girls. We know that now, which sucks. I didn't enjoy his content. Thankfully, I didn't buy his keyboard with the shit on it. I guess I could have just taped over his logo on it. He's got a cool logo. He was off by a whole, just a couple of weeks. And saying it was his last episode. It was like crazy, I remember at the time, what happened was he was drinking and he was apparently drunk and walked out in the middle of the street and got hit by a car. Is my understanding of what happened. I don't know really much other details than that. but it sucked. Feener was a funny guy. He would just tell us, some crazy shit that he would. Well, he. Shelly would hang out with them a lot as they both lived in Edwardsville. And of course, like, he used to do crazy shit. Like when they'd go to the bar, he would go there and, he would take change off the tables from, that were like tips to the waitresses. And he would take that and he would use that to buy beers. I feel like I can say this because, he might have talked about that while on the show. I know Shelly would talk about this shit. There was crazy times back then as I'm trying to see where in the first episode was with him. Like, shit, there was, he was on in 2015 and 2016 a lot. Oh man, I'd like to go back and listen to it because it's been so long. I don't remember shit as soon as I'm done recording these for the most part. I mean, these I remember better, some of these, because of the fact, like, when there was like really funny story in there. Of course, the going down that road was like one of the more, probably the more funnier stories that we had, including Fiener, where he talked about being at a bar and doing crystal meth. It was like, you get, everybody goes down that road. And oh man, there's an age restricted video now. I got looking at these episodes, and yeah, some of these links don't work, I guess, anymore. yeah, I don't remember half of these. This shit. This is a, yeah. Okay, the first time he was on in 2014, so 2 years into the show. It's episode 101. And yeah, there was, that's just a lot of stuff I don't remember. That is, man, that is just like looking at the show notes and whatnot. That's, I'm feeling old. Feeling really old. I also, you know, went to Europe like, what, 6 or 7 times? I think 7 times. So I went to Germany twice, Ireland 3 times. That's 5. And then Russia twice, so 7. And we played Will Roulette most of those times. We did not do that, of course, this last trip I went on. Probably should have. Probably should have done that. Did not, though. I did not do that this last time. And but hey, I survived. I, as of right now, I don't see myself going back to Europe or traveling far in a plane, since, you know, the price of fuel is going obscenely through the roof as we have another never-ending war in the Middle East. As the Strait of Hormuz is closed for business. And, you know, most of the oil fields in the Middle East are on fire. Anyway. St. Patrick's Day was good. That was good. I just stayed at home, and it was nice to have a day off. I made my corned beef and cabbage, overcooked the corned beef a little bit. I leave it in the oven. I probably should have not had it set as high as it suggested, but while I was cooking the veggies, it took a while. I think the corned beef dried out. It was fine like when I pulled it out of the pot. But after leaving it sit in the oven for so long, it dried it out a lot. Feel like I probably should have had it set way lower than what it suggested. Maybe it wouldn't have dried out so bad. And from doing that, I had a beer, and like I was mentioning earlier, I just can't, alcohol is just not good for my system anymore. And so I had like one Guinness with it. And I cooked the corned beef in a Guinness, but then I still got like 4 Guinnesses left, and I don't really feel like drinking. So I'm going to attempt to make some Guinness brownies. I guess maybe tomorrow. I don't know when I'm going to fucking make these things. I'm not big on brownies, but I've had like Guinness brownies and Guinness cake and just Guinness in like desserts like that or sweet treats. It's pretty solid. I do enjoy it. So I'm optimistic that they'll turn out good. Really, I just didn't want the Guinness to go to waste there. We'll see how that works out for me. Yeah, I don't it's gonna take a while. It's a time consuming baking. I had to get, you know, supplies to do it. So hopefully, I don't see myself probably baking a lot in the future. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I did, Jackman did stop by Tony and Jackman did stop by with their children, and they hung out for a while on my birthday, as they gave me a gift certificate to the music store here in town, and I had ordered a Blues jersey, the Braden Schenn jersey. I may have mentioned it. I ordered it before the last podcast. I don't recall. Because they were half off for the captain's jersey since they just traded him away. And I didn't have one of the new jerseys yet, so I was like, man. And I love me some Braden Schenn, even if he's not on the team anymore. I mean, he was on the Cup team. I talked to him about him last week. I may have ordered it before. But anyway, it was scheduled to arrive on my birthday. And I don't know why, but apparently it was sent to Jackman's address. I haven't lived there in almost 5 years. And I don't know if it's because I use PayPal. And PayPal might have been the issue that might have had my old address in there. Because I don't use PayPal. It's pretty rare that I have to order anything that gets shipped to me. But I didn't like double check the address when I was checking out to make sure that it was this address. I'm just so used to everything being this address. And it said it delivered to my place, and it did not. It was not here. And I assumed it was probably just delivered to the wrong address, you know, because that usually happens around here. I just had a package yesterday that was delivered, and it got sent to the neighbor's house. Happens all the time. But this is UPS. Usually it's Amazon that does it, that fucks it up. This happened, and I glanced over my neighbor's doors thinking it was probably my neighbor's. I didn't see any packages. I'm like, what the fuck? And they didn't send me a picture or say what address it was sent to. UPS's website, for the record, sucks ass. And they have the chat. You can talk to AI on their fucking website, which is pretty worthless. Actually, before I went, I filed the claim. That was easy to do. Just hit and say, file claim, the lost package. I filed a claim on their website. But then Jackman came over later and they're like, hey, you got a package delivered to our house. I was like, oh shit, hey, there's my Blues jersey. And I tried to cancel the claim by going on their website. And the AI on the chat thing was not, there was no way to just cancel that. And no way to, it couldn't understand what I was saying to it. And so then I called the customer service number, which wasn't on their website. I had to like Google their customer service number. And it was all just AI. And talking to the AI. And I would say customer service. Well, I kept saying, speak to a representative. And it was like, we understand that you want to speak to a representative, but I'm just going to run through these other options for you. And like, no. And I would just keep saying, and it would never let me speak to a representative. I eventually just had to find on Reddit, there was a link they had, somebody had put in a post that there was a phone number for UPS that will get you to a real person. And I was able to speak to a real person, and I canceled it via that way. And I was quite glad to actually speak to an actual human being. And it's a fun fact. If you have some issues with UPS, good luck. make sure you look it up, the right phone number. Fuck that. Fuck that AI bullshit. It is fucking worthless. That is the whole reason I quit going to Panda Express's drive-thru. That if I get Panda Express, I'm going on the inside because they have AI in their drive-thru and it is fucking worthless. Completely worthless. Don't use it. It is such a pain in the ass. Pay a real human being, fuckers. Pay a real human being. It is so much easier to deal with. Anyway. Yeah. So I did get my Braden Schenn jersey, though. And so I'm ready to go to Star Wars night next week at the Enterprise Center with my Braden Schenn jersey. I'm going to represent it. Now, I didn't go climbing today. There was a possibility I was going to do that. I know I've been, this is the first week in 3 weeks that I haven't. Of course, I've only climbed like 2 weeks in a row. I mean, it's not really crazy. I was going to say, yeah, I did go to REI. My friend John had come over. Germany John. He came over. He had his both of his son and daughter with him, and so he didn't really want to go climbing. You know, he had to pay for three people then, and then also he was planning on taking them to the movies tomorrow. He didn't want to take them to the movies and, you know, pay for them to go climbing and stuff. So, but we both wanted to go look at some shoes, so we went to REI over in Brentwood. And they didn't really have that big a shoe option. I was hoping they would have a little bit more in the store. On their website, they've got quite a few on their website. Didn't end up buying some shoes. I came close. There was one with laces, which I didn't really want laces. But they were $100, and I would have gotten 20% off. So it would have been like $80, which is not bad. The climbing shoes can get fucking expensive. And the big reason I really wanted to buy shoes, I mean, I don't like using rental shoes anyway, but last week after climbing, I didn't notice it right away. But by the time I went to work on Monday, it was clear to me that I had athlete's foot. My feet were burning by the end of the day at work Monday. My feet were burning pretty bad. I had a tough time finishing out work that day, and so... I had to go to Walgreens and get the boom fast acting, tough acting, tenactin. That's what John Madden used to do in the commercials back in the day. It was a bit rough, but it didn't take too much long of the using the spray to get the athlete's foot to go away. Just keep cleaning my foot, putting the athlete's foot on. Anyway, didn't buy shoes today. Didn't have to. Didn't go climbing because you can buy at the gyms, the climbing gyms. You can buy shoes there, which we were tempted to do it last time. Had I known I was going to get athlete's foot, I would have done it before climbing last time. Because I do really enjoy it, and I don't want to get athlete's foot again. So, and the shoes, you know, you use those rental shoes. They've been used a lot. They can be pretty rough. The ones John had actually had holes in them. So, it was only like $4 or something to rent them. Still, I'd rather not chance it and... get athlete's foot. That's just no fun. No fun whatsoever. I didn't get shoes, but I did get a hangboard. I will need to go to Lowe's and get a piece of plywood to be able to mount it above my doorway here in the bedroom, which I plan on mounting that up there because I needed something to strengthen my forearms and my fingers for climbing. And to hang from. So hopefully I can get some good practice in, you know, because there's no gym anywhere near here. The closest one's like a 50-minute drive. So, like, that's not something I can do every day. But I got a hangboard. At least I can work on hanging from the board. I thought too, which I'm pretty sure I'm not going to do this, or at least tell my, this is what I'm saying for the record for my homeowner's insurance. The thought had occurred to me. I could put some jugs and other holds above my stairwell on the walls. It would be a bitch though, because I'd really have to, if I bolted them all into the studs, it wouldn't be so bad. I don't know how many studs there would be on those walls, but it would not be very safe to climb all the way up those that wall. It would be kind of fucking cool though to be able to just climb up a wall in my own house. Like, it is so tempting to do that. But for the record, not doing that. Or so I'm telling the homeowners insurance, my insurance company. Hopefully they're not listening to this. Totally not doing that. But man, it would be fucking cool to... it's narrow enough, like, if I started to slip or whatever, I could climb, I could just push my hands out and touch the sides, you know, and just, like, shimmy down. But there's, like, there's not a good way to, like, belay myself off that. I fall. It's going to be a decent fall. I'm going to hit the stairs. That wouldn't be cool. That wouldn't be cool. But that, and also, I mean, if I didn't properly install those holds on the wall, man, it's going to rip right out of the drywall, you know, and then I'm going to hit the stairs. There's just a lot of things that could happen to me hitting the stairs. And that's, man, that's going to be rough. I mean, I guess I could blow up my air mattress and lay it on the stairs. just so I could climb it home, just so I could get that practice in. Oh, imagine how dirty my walls would be if I was like, nonstop, like, climbing up them. Chalking up my hands and climbing up the walls. But, you know, hey, I own the place. Or at least, you know, the bank owns it. I'm not renting. Man, it would be pretty awesome to have a climb wall in my house. I would definitely... Man, it would... I got to stop thinking about it, because before I finish recording this podcast, I'm going to be like, all right, looking up, because buying the little holds aren't, isn't like too bad. I could maybe put up a couple of different holds. I don't know how I'd go about that. I had to like just lift myself up. Just even having a couple, so I'm not even going that high above the stairs. I don't think I'd want to climb completely to the top when, again, there's nothing supporting me fully and everything. That could be real dangerous. But just enough to like pull myself up for a little bit, just a little area, just to work on that arm strength. Which hopefully the hangboard's good enough. I don't know that I'll ever need more than a hangboard. Hopefully not. We'll see what happens though. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure when I'm going to mount this thing, because then I gotta go to Lowe's and get a piece of plywood cut down to the just the right size. As and I need to make sure that I got plenty of you know, studs. I'm pretty sure there's at least two studs that I can mount it on, if not three to four, above my doorway there. The one that I'm planning on putting it on. Maybe I'll have to put it in a different doorway, you know, or mount it somewhere else. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I do have a hangboard. It was like $80 after the 20%. 81 with taxes. It was like 81, I think, that I paid for it. It wasn't like the biggest hangboard they had there. Slightly smaller than the bigger one they had. But I just want to, you know, build up some finger strength. And hopefully, I might do, you know, just slight pull-ups on it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't want to get too crazy with it, because I don't want to injure myself. I use my hands at work all day. That could be a real problem. Could make work real fun. Real, real fun. As, just thinking about that. Sounds rough. But I do need to get some shoes. I'm tempted to just get some online, because right now, if you are a member of REI, which I bought a membership like at least 10 years ago, if not more, probably more than that, probably more like, 12 years ago, I think, that I bought a membership there. Apparently you had to pay for it, but it's a lifetime membership. You can get a 20% discount, I think, pretty much everything on REI right now. So I can get that with free shipping with the membership. So I get free shipping from their website. So it's tempting to get that, though. The idea of buying the shoes, at the rock climbing gym is also something that, you know, does sound like a better idea. Just simply the fact that I can then, you know, talk to somebody there that knows about climbing. And, you know, they have people, you know, there that you can talk to at REI, but I don't know that any of them are, you know, it's just a sporting goods store in general. A lot of it is outdoor stuff. I don't know that there's any, their climbing section isn't very big. I don't know that they're, I did not speak with the people that worked there. They didn't have that big of a selection. I mean, I tried the one pair of shoes, which I was tempted in buying, but it had laces. I didn't think that I really wanted laces. And yeah, I don't know. As I was tempted to do it, but yeah, again, it's, yeah, I just wasn't sure about getting the shoes. And I feel like actually being able to try them on, and when you're at the gym, the rock or the indoor climbing gym, you can, of course, I believe they'll let you actually try them on a little bit, like in the gym. I'm not completely sure on that. Just to see like how well they work. Which that is a big thing, being able to get an idea, or at least maybe have let you try on some rental shoes that are of the same ilk, I guess. And that's really what I was, you know, looking for. I don't know that much about the shoes. I've only done this, you know, twice. And I understand there's basically like three different grades of shoes, really. There's like a neutral, and that is like the lower end shoes. I guess that's more for like, you know, all terrain or, you know, whatever types of climbing. It's not. Then there's like aggressive. That might be the more expensive ones. There's moderate, there's neutral, moderate, and then aggressive, I think, are like the three main types. And the aggressive, like when it gets like real pricey. And like the better the shoe, the better grip they have. And, but like the higher grade shoes also tend to, they break down pretty easy. There's definitely some negative sides to buying the shoes. But I wouldn't imagine though, the little climbing as I'm going to be doing that, I would think one pair of shoes would last me quite a while. Though again, I don't know how long it takes for those to really break down. If it's anything like running, I can put some mileage on that. Those shoes are totally different though than run shoes. Run shoes, I can run for about 400 miles before I have to swap them out. There's a lot more cushion in those, though. These climbing shoes are a different story, if you will. I did hang out with Muffin Man last night, unrelated to any of the climbing situations, but we did go see with Shelley and Nabina the new film, The Hail Mary Project, with Ryan Gosling. It's an entertaining movie. I'd say it's worth, let's see here, Hail Mary Project, find out the deets here. Where is IMDb, bastards? here we go. Here's the IMDb on it. I think it was the person that wrote it, that wrote the book. I do not know the author's name. Also wrote the Martian with the movie, the Matt Damon movie. But this is an interesting movie. It's mainly just, you know, Ryan Gosling by himself for the most part, but then he's got an alien friend that speaks to him, Rocky. And but there's like flashbacks to him leading up to going into the mission, and it's got some funny scenes in it. There's some humor to it. And I was saddened though that Milana Weintraub did not have more of a part. I thought she was going to have a bigger part than she did. Spoiler alert, you find this out real quickly. She's one of the dead astronauts with him. Because when he's sent out to save Earth, the astrophage, this bioorganism, whatever you want to call it, is dimming the sun and will eventually kill Earth and or most of life on Earth, as it's going to, you know, dramatically drop the temperature on Earth. They got to figure out what's causing it, and like they found a planet in the solar system where it doesn't seem to be affecting it, and he has to go and investigate. You know, what is the reason this planet seems to not be affected by it, this star or what have you? And so he as well as two other astronauts is shot into space and to go investigate on a one-way trip. They don't believe they're coming back. And I don't want to spoil it on whether or not he makes it back. I don't want to spoil that. Milan Weintraub's character, like, it starts out and Ryan Gosling awakens inside the ship, and the other two astronauts that are with him are already dead, and he is the only living one, although he's not an astronaut, you come to find out. You find out he is not an astronaut, as he is unaware of who he is initially when he comes to, and he of course finds out who he is along as at the same time you do. It's like an interesting concept. And then you find out one of the dead astronauts is Milana Weintraub, which is she was great back in, like, I remember her from back in the day, in like early days of YouTube. There was Live Prude Girls, I think they called it. She's of course most known for being in the AT&T commercials. The woman in the AT&T commercials. I don't know if she still does it, but she's been involved with those for many, many years. But she was on, like, early days of YouTube, and I was hoping she'd have a bigger part, as she does, like, stand-up and stuff, too. She's directed a lot of shit. Anyway, she played a Russian astronaut. And has very few lines. I really thought there would be a little bit more to her character. Sadly, there was not. A movie she directed. Werewolves Within. I think she directed that one. Werewolves Within. That one's on Hulu. I can be able to watch that if I want to. Good to know. Anyway, though. The alien in there, Rocky, looks like a rock, hence Rocky. It's worth a watch, though. I'm still, I think, you know, the next big movie I want to make sure that I see in the theater is The Mandalorian and Grogu. That is a definite. Of the trailers I watched, that was the only one I'm saying for sure that I wanted to go see in the theater. Now, you know, it would be interesting to go see the Mortal Kombat 2, which I didn't see the first one. I saw the original Mortal Kombat, you know, back in like the 90s. But I did not see the newer Mortal Kombat ones, which is entertaining. You know, it's classic. I love the Mortal Kombat. I forgot to mention Chuck Norris passed away. That's a shame. But I did hear his family has said that has confirmed that he will carry his own casket. So, which I feel like he'd approve of that of that message, since of course he he did the Chuck Norris jokes all the time. He was involved in the Chuck Norris jokes. He found them very funny. There's a clip of him going around I saw on Instagram where, of course, he he was talking about being on a late night show, I think, and there was a tiger involved, and he then proceeded to the tiger was growling to some effect, and this is not a clip I have pulled up, sadly. But the tiger started to growl, and the trainer said, "Now back up slowly, like, and basically get the fuck out of here." And then Chuck Norris is like, and then the tiger did. It's like the tiger had to get out of there because you don't fuck with Chuck Norris. Again, yeah, my retelling of it is horrible, but Chuck Norris's delivery of it was pretty solid. Which, who doesn't love a good Chuck Norris joke? I mean, there was, you know, when I've seen that that if Chuck Norris was in all of the Star Wars movies, he was the Force. Yeah, that's right. you know, he was in at least one Bruce Lee movie. I don't remember if he was in more than one. Which, I mean, he did train with Bruce Lee and stuff, which is pretty amazing. I used to love me some Bruce Lee movies back in the day, watching Enter the Dragon, and all. Mainly, Enter the Dragon is the one I mainly remember. Oh, no, this is... Let's talk about something more interesting, I guess, is possibly... back to Mulan of Ytra. Although, I think that had... It did start out like Live Prude Girls. Anyway. As, I digress. I really need to wrap this up, though, because I need to go eat. And my throat's getting a little parched. And there is a Blues game tonight. I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to make the playoffs, but I am pretty excited to go to the game next week. It goes to Star Wars night and get my Grogu bobblehead. Represent Shen. But that's really all I've got. I gotta hang a hangboard and do shit. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.